would turn in our hymnals to song 264. Song number 264, Blessed Assurance. Song 264, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. I don't know. I guess can I have a bulletin, somebody? Eli, you mind getting some bulletins? Just help pass them out.
Oh,
okay, we got one. All right, welcome. So let's just address the elephant in the room. I broke my clavicle 2 days ago. Whenever that was, Friday. I was at a men's retreat with Steadfast Baptist Church. It's not a great story, but I'm going to tell it anyways. It was the relay race. I was running, and I guess I'm just not young anymore or something. I hit a divot, lost my balance, went forward, catapulted myself onto my shoulder, and then proceeded to break my clavicle enough that I'll need surgery probably as early as tomorrow. So I'm on my way to the Rio Grande Valley. Fortunately, my dad's a doctor in Mexico, and he already has a surgeon lined up. So, God willing, if it all works out, I should be in surgery tomorrow, and then we start the recovery process. So, I do have a couple of longer announcements. Pastor Cobb will be preaching for us today. He was already on schedule, so it's great. But let's go through the regular announcements, and then I'll cover the stuff. But, today's August 17th. It's good to have Liberty and her family back, and we also have some birthdays to celebrate. But a Sunday morning service is at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening is 4:30 p.m., and then Wednesday service is 5:30 p.m. Our soul winning time is 2 p.m., and then our memory chapter is Philippians 1, and we are, for this week, on Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. All the kids should be able to quote this one and get some ice cream in 1 week. I mean, I know some of the other ones are longer, but I expect all the ice cream to be gone by the end of this week. I mean, if you guys cannot remember this one, I'm going to be like, I'll talk to your parents. I'll be like, what's going on, parents? And then the soul winning numbers for the year, we have 181 people, 181 souls won so far this year. And then we have birthdays. Today's Eli's birthday. So we did bring some cupcakes for anybody that wants to celebrate afterwards. And then we do have a big event coming up. And let me go through the events, and then we'll do that. Pastor Anderson's coming to preach for us Friday at 7 p.m., August 22nd, and we have a soul winning marathon August 23rd, that Saturday, and I'll get those details out. And then for those of you, let me know if anybody's going to the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. I was planned to speak, to preach that Sunday. If I can, I'm still going to make it. I'm not going to just back down, but I don't know. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know what the surgery looks like. So the only challenge about having a dad who's a doctor is he's a doctor. He's not going to tell me. I'm like, Dad, so what's up? And he's not going to tell me anything till I get there. So he's not. He's like, I already took care of it. Everything's fine. You'll be in surgery. You're going to be great. I'm like, yeah, but I need like some information. He's like, and he's your dad. He doesn't care, right? So yeah, it's just like he does it. Like, it's just like my wife will tell you. She was even making fun of him this morning, like in a nice way, because we were talking about, she was asking me the same question. She's like, oh, I know your dad. It's okay. So, and then the Mexico City soul winning missions trip. If anybody's interested in going, I know a couple guys were, let me know. I probably will not be going to that. Depends on on the recovery. If I can get mobility, like I am going to go to all these things, but if my mobility is restricted, I'm not going to do any of that, of course. And then on the back, we have the prayer request. There's a couple I missed that will be on the next bulletin. But back there, we did add. And then, I mean, of course, just pray for me. Just speedy recovery. It sounds like I should be back to normal here in a couple of weeks or months. But you never know with it, all this stuff. I mean, I was supposed to be back after a trip and just ready to roll. And look what happened. So now, with all that being said, there's a couple of things that really I need help with now that this has occurred. So the timing is just perfect. We have the brother Heath is working on the baby mother room in the back. So that should be done this week. And then that's really where we would expect the moms to go if they need to, you know, if the babies are just being too loud or anything. And it's specifically for moms and babies. I know some of the older children in an area will work on that next. And then, but for now, if any of the kids get loud, just, you know, bring them over here to where the TV is in the kitchen area. And then if we can just try to minimize, like, just no eating during the service, just because there's been a lot of, and that goes for my kids too. You guys know what I'm talking about. So let me just make that very clear. And so the other thing, I agree with some of the parents that has been an issue. The children, I know it's hard for the children to play, but if we can just keep the running to a minimum, because obviously if you bump into someone, it could be that's not, if you were to bump into me right now, it'd be very painful, right? So just let's keep the running to a minimum. Obviously during church, let's keep the noise down to a minimum as well. And then the distractions, my wife kind of wrote a bunch of stuff in here for me. Now, when it comes to what's going on right now, I don't know what recovery looks like. I don't know what my preaching schedule looks like. So I do have a couple of men lined up that could do that. And if you don't have a sermon or you're not comfortable enough to preach, just let me know with enough time. Pastor Shelley has actually let me know that he could send somebody to preach for us. So we're not, you know, the only service I'm canceling is I am canceling tonight's service. So there will be no church tonight. Soul winning, you guys need to figure it out on your own because I've got to get on the road after this so that I can make it to the valley and get ready for surgery. But a couple of things that have been standing out that I really need help with. So Sister Sylvia and he usually are helping with like cleaning up the church. She has a regular schedule, but she can't always make it. And usually what ends up happening is if she doesn't make it, I'll clean the church. So I've been cleaning the church for the better part of, I don't know, like 5-6 years. It doesn't bother me. You guys probably never knew that until now because I have to. So if you can't make it, then just after services, just try to leave everything as clean as possible. Because I usually don't say anything because I'm going to come in and take out trash. You know, I know the restrooms have those small trash cans, which we probably need to get bigger ones. So just if you need to change the bags, and if you don't know where anything's at, ask Sister Sylvia or Sister Linda. The other thing is I would ask, we do have all the snacks and supplies in the back room. The only people allowed back there are the parents, no kids, because, you know, it'd be a free-for-all. Normally I don't say anything because we're here, but now that, you know, these things, because you guys don't know this stuff. Like, I'm the one that you just keep an eye on this. The soul winning, like, I'd ask you not to stop it. So just you guys coordinate among yourselves. Soul winning time is 2 o'clock. You guys know where all the materials are. We have plenty of Bibles. We have plenty of handouts. You guys know how to get a map and how to go to an apartment complex. If you don't know how to do it, just pick an apartment complex. It's not in this area, so it's not all Spanish-speaking, because that is a problem, right? Last week we went, and I was the only one that was able to give the gospel. And it's not just you guys. Just, you know, Brother Mike, when he first started coming with me, we went like a couple of times, and he finally like turned to me, and he goes, "Hey, you think we could go soul winning somewhere else?" And I thought, I didn't know where he's coming from. He's like, "I like to give the gospel as well." He's like, "You're the only one that's giving the gospel." I was like, "Yeah, let's go soul winning somewhere else." But it wasn't because I was trying to hog it. It's just everybody speaks Spanish around here. It's pretty bad. A couple of other things. Brother Heath and Mo run the AV, but if anybody wants to learn it just to help out, the audio and visual, we have mics, we have cameras. If you guys can help out with that. And then as far as like any of the events, Trey is on the books with me and Pastor Cobb on the leadership. What I'll do is I'll talk to them, and I already talked to Brother James, because Brother Heath is like, I'll help out, but don't get me involved. I was like, that's fine. So for like Pastor Anderson coming, what I wanted to do is just have a fellowship, like maybe order pizza in, because it sounds like he's just flying in and out. So I'll make sure to work it out where we just have accountability. Trey, I'll probably do a group chat with James, and then I'll just get some cash to you or somebody, so that the church will still cover those events. I just got to get the finances to the right people. So, and if you want to be involved in that, I'm okay with that. Just let me know. I mean, it's just a little bit more accountability and responsibility. And then the only other thing I will say on the security, Pastor Anderson is a great preacher, but he's also a hated preacher. Of all the preachers we've had, Pastor Shelley and Pastor Anderson are probably the most polarizing preachers we're going to have. I don't have a problem with it. Pastor Anderson is a good friend of mine. His preaching is on par with what I believe because it's biblical. But it also does bring out the weirdos from the woods. So security, Heath, Trey, Brother James, you guys, you have clear discretion. If somebody's just acting weird, just kick them out. Just get rid of them. And we've done that before. It doesn't have to be drama, but we will. I don't anticipate that, but it's possible. Brother Kevin, you know, any of the men that are here, if it just gets weird, don't make a big scene. I'm probably make the biggest scene. You guys are more discreet than I am, so you'll handle it. I'm not worried, but I do want to just have like some security protocols. We know we have a doorbell. We have the cameras. And most of the people that come are not going to try to do anything. They're just very dramatic if they do stuff. Like, it's more of that kind of stuff. But I just want to, is there any questions? I'll have my phone on me. I should be able to answer everything after Tuesday. But I do want to make sure that nothing stops, right? I won't be here, so I really need help, especially from the men. Just step up. Let me know if you can preach. If you can't, just give me enough time so I can get somebody here. Pastor Cobb can preach as well. He's not opposed to it. And then I know I did hear, like, Brother Jared, I heard that you might be willing to preach, but I do need to talk to you about it. Because I've never heard you preach, so you know, I'm just not going to throw you up here without at least vetting you. You know, I don't want you to come up here and preach something weird and then realize, like, what the heck? I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying the truth. So, but is there any, if there's not any questions right now, at least some of the men, if you'll just give me a few minutes afterwards just to kind of iron some of that stuff out. That's really why I showed up today. Other than that, you guys are the church. I mean, I know I lead it and I do a lot of the stuff, but I mean, it's in good hands. Like, you guys can handle it. Make Pastor Anderson feel welcome. You know, promote it. Show up and fill the place up. Send me some pictures. God willing, I could be back by Friday, but I'm just assuming, preparing for the worst. Like, I don't think I'll be here. I don't know when I'll be back. But if I can be back, I'll be back right away. And we'll do that. And other than that, let's sing our next hymnal, which is what number, Mama?
It is
319. Brother Mo will lead the singing, and then we'll have Pastor Cobb preach after the reading.
All right, we're there in song 319. Song 319, Jesus Saves. Song 319.
We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus Saves.
glad the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the seas and cross the waves. Onward is the Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle shrine. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
All right, now one more song before we get into the preaching, song 288. Song number 288, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Dread, what have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Now if we would turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4, we'll read while we pass the offering plate. Matthew chapter number 4. We're not going to be reading the whole chapter, but we'll read a few verses here, starting in verse 17, where the Bible reads, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee,
saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Cobb preaching today, Lord. I pray that you bless the service. I pray that you be with Pastor Enrique, help him to heal, have a speedy recovery, and be able to do the things that he wants to do for you, Lord. And I pray that you fill us with your spirit. Help us to receive the sermon with the gladness of heart, Lord. And I pray that we all get home safe today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
We're going to pass those.
Yeah, I'll pass them out.
Okay. Well, thank the Lord, Pastor Enrique wouldn't hurt any worse than what he was. It's bad enough. We really have been putting a burden on him. He's had his hands full, and I thank the Lord for him in all of his efforts, what have you. He does it because he loves the Lord. But be in prayer for him as he journeys down to... We're going to give him back to Mexico for a day or two. Yeah. His dad is a practicing physician down in Mexico. He drives across each day from McAllen over to somewhere in Mexico Reynosa. City.
Reynosa.
Okay. But thank the Lord that Brother Enrique is not any worse, but bad enough as it is. I would ask that Linda and I were up in East Texas this week, and while we were there, we got a call that her nephew, Charles Singleton, was found dead behind his car. His wife came home from work at the post office and found him. And as far as we know, he hadn't been sick. He's 58 years old. But anyway, be in prayer for that family because it's really a tragic time. Sometimes the timing of a person's death is what counts. And we never know why. But the Lord knows. But be in prayer for the Singleton family. Linda and I will be going back up there for the funeral. They're going to have a funeral at Weatherford, Texas. And we're going to be going back for that this week. But we'll be available if you need us. Don't hesitate to call. Okay, y'all see my subject today that I want to be using I've entitled it, Jesus, the Master Fisherman.
Amen.
I bet you we've got a bunch of fishermen here today. In 2010, Linda and I bought a lake house up off Sam Rayburn Lake out of Huntington. Our house is 1 mile from the lake. We bought that intending to retire up there and so forth. But we wound up not finding a place on our schedule to retire completely. But we spent a lot of time and effort getting the place so we could fish. But guess how many times we've been gone fishing in the last 15 years that we've had that place up there? Zero. So the moral of the story, everybody that talks about fishing don't always go fishing. But the Lord was dealing with a bunch of fishermen when he started his church. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The first church members were fishermen. Let's see, fellas. Fix me a trap. Maybe I got it here now. This is all trial and error. This is the first time this has happened. But anyway, the first church members were fishermen. Commercial fishermen they were. I've had the opportunity different times in the past when I was a tour host with Wholesale Tours. We went took trips to the Holy Land, and especially on the Sea of Galilee where this takes place. It's a quiet place, and people still fish there commercially. And it's called the Sea of Galilee. It's about like Lake Livingston, something about that size. But nevertheless, it was a good place to fish and convenient for the first church members. They were on the Sea of Galilee, and they were fishing for fish. They became greater fishermen because they became fishers of men.
Amen.
And folks, that's what this is about this morning. The church is to be fishers of men.
Right, right.
The Lord sent the church out. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? That men might be saved and live forever with us. It's so critical that we realize the mission of the church is soul winning. Reaching out for people that don't know the Lord. But these fellows, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and so forth, were not born fishers of men, but they learned from the master fisherman, who, of course, was our Lord. But they became fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. And the question is which is most important? I always love fishing. Y'all may not know, may not have known Dr. A.J. Kirkland, who was president of the seminary where I attended for 7 years. He and I fished a whole lot. The only problem is I worked the evening shift. We'd get out and the fish get to biting. And Brother Kirkland said, oh, just stay just a little longer, preacher. He just kept on. It was hard to pull him away from that fish hook because he loved fishing. But he also was a fisher of men. The Lord blessed him, and he passed away in 73. His replacement was Dr. Ray O. Brooks. Ray O. Brooks took Brother Kirkland's place. 2 years ago, Linda and I went to celebrate their 100th birthday, Brother Brooks. He's now 102 and still at our seminary, still preaching the word. Now think about that. 102 years old and still proclaiming the word. So folk, the word retirement's not in the books.
Amen.
But let's look at the great fishing exposition of today. The net that they used to fish with becomes a snare, and of course we catch our fish through casting a net. Over here in East Texas, where Brother from Zavala is from, and myself, we fished a different place. But the net's the gospel of the Lord. And if you have your paper there, let's read Habakkuk chapter 11, right in the middle of the page there. Habakkuk chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. Oh, 1, I'm sorry. All right. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue, which the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net, and they gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. The net is cast by the church all over the sea. Nothing wrong with a net. It's a good net. But sometimes a net catches something you don't want. We used to go and use a seine net to go through the old fishing holes, and we'd drag forth every kind. And I remember an occasion back when I was a lot younger that we would throw that net out, and every time we would get back to shore, we had about 3 snakes all in that. And folks, that's not too much fun. It takes the fun out of those snakes, too. But when you cast a net, as we read in the scripture, we catch every kind, and sometimes the wrong kind. Linda pulled a songbook out the other day and showed me, and it's not here. We took it away from the building. But there was a fellow that visited our services. We went knocking on doors. We had so we didn't call it soul winning, but we called it visitation. We went knocking on doors, and we passed it, and apparently we gave this guy a brochure that we'd made up, and he shows up for church. And folk, you don't realize what can happen. This guy picked up one of our song books and started writing in it and referred to himself as Reverend so-and-so. I've never seen such vile print and stuff in my life that someone would actually print while church was going on. He sat there and wrote and wrote. And I found out later he had been in the Huntsville prison, and also mental institution. But folks, you never know what you're going to run into when you knock on those doors. That's what I'm trying to tell you. By the way, that book is, I'm going to show it short to those that want to see it, but it literally is sickening of what was written there. And during the while service was going on, matter of fact, he wrote the notes of the songs that we were singing. He wrote them in all on the pages. So he knew some things. But that's what you may run into while you're knocking on doors. And it's, don't be surprised. But this caught Judas at the first throw. Isn't that something? Judas Iscariot we're talking about. There was more than one Judas in the first church. But he caught Judas the first time. And then he caught Simon Magus, who was in the gall of bitterness. Now, notice, in the gall of bitterness. Some years ago, and I've been here a long time, 48 years, we had a fellow that had an office, and he was in the gall of bitterness. He had standing up back here giving his report. And he got up, he was mad and angry at one of the other men. And he says, "I resign my office right now." Now, how you like that? People best in church. What's going on? The guy actually was that loud. "I resign my position right now." Two months later, he come back and said, "Could I have my job back?" But he was in the gall of bitterness. He made a statement to our congregation, "I got no friends." You know what the scripture says? He that would have friends must first show himself to be friendly. But what I'm getting at, folks, younger Christians, you may run into that sometimes. Don't let it drag you down. Just walk away. There's a time to walk away, and that is the time when someone is in the gall of bitterness. And then later in the net, they caught Simon Peter. And we call Simon Peter the catfish in the bunch. Some of us used to trot line all the time. I did myself in the lake and in the rivers. And we'd catch those catfish. We purposely go after the catfish. But they were all mouth, we said. They always had their mouth open. Simon Peter was the case. When they went to get our Lord to crucify him in the garden there, Peter rebelled and said to Jesus, "You're not going to have to die. We're going to take care of you." And our Lord told him, some things have got to be. And this is one of them, that the Master is going to die for his people. But an old catfish always got his mouth open. That's what gets him caught and in trouble. That's why he gets a hook in his mouth. But Peter fit that case. Now, I may have to look Peter in the face one day for preaching this message. But he knew what he was doing, didn't he? And then he tried to tell our Lord how to run his business. Now, if you want to know how to run your business, you better let the Lord do that. Matter of fact, Peter went one step further. When they came to take Jesus, as a prisoner. Peter took a knife and he cut one of the soldier's ears off. Y'all remember the story? Boy, I'm glad they had the Lord along, because the Lord took that ear and put it back. All right. And some are like a crawfish. I don't know how much about, but when I was a little small boy, we fished all the time, and we'd go down to the creek and feel in the banks, and we'd grab those crawfish and catch them, and we'd sit down and have a crawfish party. But the crawfish has some characteristics about him. If you'll ever observe him, he crawls forward real slow. But you send a little trouble along, and he goes like lightning backwards. Forward? No. But he goes backwards. Fast. And then there's a jellyfish. A jellyfish just swells up. And folks, we got some people like that. Right. They just swell up. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. And then there's a drum. You know what a little drum is? I can't hear very well, especially in my latter days. But one day we were fishing out in the lake there, and we found a place where there were several drums. And while we were sitting there, you could listen under the boat. You hear those drums, boom, boom, like an old bullfrog. There's a lot of people who make noise, can't they, and growl a little bit. But sometimes you catch a snake. As I already referred to my experience. And a snake would devour the other fish. But folk, we can be the kind of person that we want to be. It's up to us. But we're going to find somewhere or another that these fish fit you. But there's coming a separation day. Verse 47 that we read a moment ago tells us that, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. The bad were cast away, weren't they? Verse 49. But the Lord knows who's his, and on that day of separation, we'll know. But the thing of it is, what's important is the scripture says he knows his own. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. Well, we don't keep ourselves saved. Our Lord does.
That's right.
That's good. I get mean and say it. I could do whatever to get your attention to let you know the Lord's in charge. Not us. I don't know why the Lord let our brother, our pastor here, get banged up, but he let him. But he still getting to visit with us today, isn't he?
Amen.
And thank the Lord, be in prayer for him as he makes his trip to Mexico. Your dad's not going to do the surgery, is he?
No. Another guy.
Yeah. Well, brother, we'll be in prayer for you. thank the Lord for you that love the Lord and in attendance today. And thank you for the privilege you've given me to proclaim your word. God bless and keep you. Okay. We're going to have another song, brother. Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right, everyone, turn in your hymnals to song 315. Song number 315, Bringing in the Sheaves.
Amen.
Song 315.
Singing, you're all dismissed.